listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up? It is another episode of the Forza Podcast. It is coronavirus season. We are in the beast of the belly, or belly of the beast. It is Marsh, your boy, as always. And just as always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, talk to me. How are we? What are we thinking?
Dude, I'm doing good. I'm excited for this new weekly thing we're trying to do, where one of our episodes is more focused on mailbag and like interaction with our listeners and our friends and fans. And then we'll focus on interviews the other one. So I'm excited to roll out the first solely dedicated to mailbag episode.
Absolutely, dude. I know, like, for podcasts that I've listened to, like, when you have your question answered, it's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And, how you been doing since we last recorded with the world falling apart?
I'm good, man. Like, my girlfriend was staying with my family for like the first week of quarantine, and then she took off. So that sucks. You know, now I'm flying solo, just a lot more video games, and been listening to Star Wars novels on Audible, which is fantastic.
Good deal. Good deal. I've been listening to, because I've been driving back and forth to Idaho and California, and now I'm back in Utah. Been catching up on or re-listening to old Orange Bowl Boys episodes, and we got to get Scoop on and Toast on. But dude, I need to get Scoop on. That guy is, we have a special bond. He's like an older version of me. I was listening to an old episode today, and they had me on. It was after the Louisiana Tech game, and I was blowing my top, obviously. And after, Scoop is like, yeah, that dude just like that. I'm like that dude, but 20 years older. We need to get him on.
Yeah. No, dude, the Orange Bowl Boys are awesome. You know, it's always a good listen. And, you know, they're what we're trying to do, you know? So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm trying to think if I had anything else before we started jumping. Do you have the questions in front of you?
I do not, but I have, sorry, I was more focused on my Mountain Dew, but let me pull them up. What about you, man? So you're just listening to the Orange Bowl Boys and anything else going on? How's your brother doing? We haven't heard anything. I guess he's taller than you, right? So I was going to call him Mini Marsh. I don't know if that works.
Oh, dude, he's giant, and he's grown since he's left. I think he's I think he's 6'5" or 6'6" now.
Jeez. Yeah, that's
and I am like the shortest one in my family. So and all like my brothers and my dad, they're all huge people, and here am I.
Yeah, you're a big dude, though. I mean, like, you're thick, and you're, like, I mean, you were as tall as I am, right?
I'm, like, 6 foot.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're right. Yeah, he's St. George, because, I mean, they, like, told him to stay in one place for 2 weeks. So he's down there with my mom. I think I might go down there here in a few days. But other than that, man, just, like, trying to provide Canes fans with as much content as possible, because – honestly, it's what gets me through the day.
Oh, absolutely, man. There's been some rumblings that football's not going to happen, and I've been shutting those thoughts far, far away from my mind. So I don't lose it, man. Like
I just can't see this thing going on up until, like, football season. Like, I just can't see it happen. That's so far away.
Well, the rationale that I saw was that, like, if this thing is over by July and, like, we're – dude, my dog's outside the door crying. I feel so bad. So if we're – you know, if players are cleared to work out and be back in the locker rooms and stuff in July, then, like, the person that I was reading was saying that it would be a health risk because they wouldn't have the strength and conditioning to play a season. You know, so we'd probably have an uptick in serious injuries and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. No, which, I mean, there's so many ways to look at it. I mean,
I bet by July this thing's, you know, well past its peak. But you know, like putting a whole bunch of fans, I'd be shocked if we had fans at the games this year, even if we get a season.
Really?
Yeah, I think you'd just be asking for another go around, you know? Like you'd be asking for a second wave of infection and a lot of people that didn't get hit the first time getting hit once we resume. You know, once quarantine's over and we're stuffing people into subway cars and, you know, buses and stuff like that, I think we're going to have waves of this thing for a few years. I mean, I'm no expert, though, so I could be talking out of my butthole, but who knows?
That just is hell for me. Like, I'm finishing school. I'm going into the sports industry, and right as I'm done, this all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Like, there is no sports. What the hell?
This is the absolute worst thing that could have possibly happened.
Yeah. Like, it is so bad. It is so bad. But I saw that Miami Sports Radio, like the stations down there, they let go of a few people, and I want to bug them like hell and hire me.
Do it, man.
That's my goal, man.
Go put your balls on the table, Marsh.
Oh, I'll put everything on the table. They'll hate me by the end of it.
No, you're not hired, and I'm calling the police.
Yeah. but yeah, other than that, it's
like you deserve it, man. I mean, go for it. There's no reason why they wouldn't hire you.
That's the dream. That's been the dream jobs since I was a kid. And so it's right there.
Oh, like, yeah.
I just want to do it.
Oh yeah. Well, maybe we can, we'll try to get some people tweeting at the radio stations and force their hand, you know, maybe don't. Hire you, and then you could make your glorious return back to your old stomping grounds.
Yeah, it would be like in the Bible when Jesus goes into Jerusalem. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
He rides in on an ass. I'd be just rolling down freaking South Beach with no one around because everyone's in coronavirus, and I'm just waving to Miami saying I'm back.
Oh man. Well, on that note, should we jump into our questions?
Let's do it.
Okay. So the first one, we got a lot of questions from our guy Gunner at Gunner305. We got a lot of questions from him. So we'll start with one of his. He says, who do you think was a better quarterback at Miami? Brad Kaya or Ja'Cory Harris? And I responded to him, and I said that I'm willing to fight people over this answer because there's only one right answer.
Yeah. Like, it would – yes, and it's our – it's friend of the program, best friend of the program, actually, Brad Kaya. Like, it would be saying – okay, here – I've thought about, like, this question, like, over the years, like, comparing – if you were to say Ja'Cory was the better quarterback – though he didn't have the stats that Kaya did, Ja'Cory would have had to at least win.
Yeah.
He didn't win.
And, dude, he threw so many interceptions.
Bro, UNC is still picking him off in the 09 game.
Yeah. He threw, in 4 years, he threw more interceptions than Brad Kaya did in, like, I used to have all the stats. I can't remember. But he threw so many freaking interceptions, man. Like, I like Ja'Cory. I don't want to be a hater. However, I get pissed off when people say he was better than Brad, because that's just patently false.
People, and myself included, we love Ja'Cory for the first two games of the 2009 season. That is it. His incredible game against Florida State and then against Georgia Tech. And then the very next week, up in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech manhandled him.
No, I'm not a hater. I own I've only ever owned one Miami Hurricanes football jersey, and it is a Jacory Harris number 12.
Wow.
However, I'm not even sure he's better than Stephen Morris. He just wasn't that great. You know, he was good. He wasn't terrible, but he wasn't great.
If he did not have that Florida State game, people wouldn't talk about him at all.
Yeah. I ripped out a page in the Sports Illustrated that was previewing college football. I think it was before the 2009 season, 2008 or 2009, one of them, where they projected Miami as finishing sixth and said that Jacory Harris was a Heisman candidate. And I held on to that picture for years and years and years. And I don't know where it is now. But, yeah, that was a disappointing –
I also remember reading in a college football magazine before the 2006 season saying that Kyle Wright was a contender to win the Heisman.
Yeah.
But I am not a Jacory hater.
How cool would it be to have Kyle Wright on and ask him what happened? I don't know if he'd be down to talk about it like that, but
everyone
says you had the talent. Like I didn't watch all of your games, but I believe them. But like, what happened?
People know my feelings about Kyle Wright, and honestly, he probably would do the interview as long as I was not involved.
Yeah,
well. Because I would turn the cameras on for the Skype and just stare at him and just say why, like what the hell?
Yeah.
Like why were you so bad?
You know, like LeVon doesn't put any blame on him. I mean, well, I guess any of the guys that we've talked to from that year, they never really criticized Kyle. I mean, that could be because they were his teammate. But I'm definitely not trying to put words in anyone's mouth. But who knows, man? I don't know. We've had a lot of issues over the years. It's hard to put your thumb on one guy or one coach or one... You know, one
I'll tell you one of the people who started it, and it was Kyle Wright.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
Okay, let's go on to the next question.
Brad Kaya all the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if you say that we are wrong, you're a dork.
You're an idiot.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Okay, this is – speaking of LeVon – this is his best friend of the program, LeVon Ponder. If you could bring one person from the 01 National Championship team to add it to the current Miami team, who would it be and why? To me, this is – ooh, I actually just thought of a good one. To me, our biggest need right now is leadership. And so that has me narrowing it to three guys who are the three team captains as told by our friend Brad Coons. And that would narrow it to Ed Reed, Ken Dorsey, and Joaquin Gonzalez.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And not only like those are, I mean, we need leadership. Like they would be, those are positions that we need talent at.
Yeah.
So
Joaquin, I kind of lead Joaquin just because we need O-line so bad. But man, Ed Reed would just be a game changer, you know?
I mean, you could also put in Brian McKinney. You could also put in Clinton Portis. You could put in – I mean, there's so many – I mean, linebacker, we could go put in Jonathan Vilma. Like,
oh, jeez.
That dude was insane. Let's throw in Philip Buchanan. Like, I mean, as you guys know, like, I've been just – I'm going back through the 2001 season and recapping in every game. And that team – even we know them as the greatest team of all time, but when you sit down and actually watch the games, like game to game, they are so much better than like they just exceed my expectations. They're so fast, they're so polished, and they're so just not what we saw last year for the Hurricanes, the complete opposite. And I mean, there's a ton of people that you can guys from that team that you can answer that question to.
Hey, I just thought of a good one. I just made up this question. But you have to answer rapid fire, okay? So no thinking about it. Agreed? Okay. So let's say we're playing Alabama tomorrow, okay? You taking Jeremy Shockey or Brevin Jordan?
Brevin Jordan.
You thought about it. You're taking Brevin?
Well, I always think about it because Brevin's my guy. Like, but then, one of the guys that I have guy, been.
That's why I didn't want you to think about it, is because, you know, just like knee-jerk reaction.
But, I mean, Brevin is just as good. I think he's top three most talented tight ends to come through Miami. But I underestimated even how good Jeremy Shockey was at Miami. Like, that dude ran like a gazelle. He was just so open all the time for Ken Dorsey.
He was so good that he was dominant as a rookie. His best season in the NFL was his rookie year. Like, that's how good he was.
Yeah. I mean, and if he didn't have injury problems with the Giants, and if, frankly, if he wasn't like a head case with the Giants, like, he would have, like, had such a better career. I mean, he did really good with the Saints, too. Won a Super Bowl, caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. But Shockey's crazy.
Dude, he's Miami. He's a hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
True. Let's see. Was that his best year? Now I'm self-conscious. Yeah, that was his most yards. Was his rookie year. Didn't have as many touchdowns as his max, though. But he had 900 yards his rookie year.
Kerry Collins was the quarterback for the Giants.
Yeah, way back then. Then Eli towards the end of his career.
Eli. What a dope.
You mean future Hall of Famer Eli Manning?
Oh, I don't want to get into that with you.
Whether he deserves it or not, I don't think he deserves it, but they got to move the goalposts if they're not going to include him, though.
Why?
That's my argument, is because he's like top 10 in stats in every category, and he has 2 Super Bowl rings.
But, like, his first Super Bowl, if David Tyree doesn't plant a football to his head with sticky glue, Eli doesn't have shit. Also, I'm a Cowboy fan, so I hate the Giants. And so I'm very, very passionate about this. Like, Eli did not win that Super Bowl.
He was pretty ridiculous in both of those playoff runs, though. Because then he had the dime to Plaxico Burress right after that David Tyree catch.
I mean, was it a dime? Plaxico was just so wide open.
Well,
I could throw that pass.
But here's the thing, though. Like, I'm with you. Has Eli ever been a top 5 QB in the NFL? No. Has he ever been, like, has he even been average his whole career? No. So should he be in the Hall of Fame? No. However, we got to move the goalposts a little, because he checks every box. You know what I'm saying?
See, I'm a stickler on the Hall of Fame. Like, I think that a Hall of Famer is someone who was considered the best or top 2, top 3 best at your position at the, like, during your career. And so, I don't know, Eli, whatever.
I think that's, like, he's the perfect opportunity for the NFL Hall of Fame to, like I said, to move the goalposts. Because, like, this is the passing era of the NFL. And so what they need to do is they need to be like, we're no longer going to compare Phillip Rivers and Fran Tarkenton by stats. Because, you know, there's, like, Jay Cutler has an argument. Matthew Stafford's going to have an argument. Ben Roethlisberger's going to be first ballot. If that's what we continue to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, this new wave of guys since, like, Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, like, really changed the NFL. This new wave of guys just has such inflated stats that they just have to change the formula for QBs. Because Eli's, like, 6th in passing yards and, like, 8th in touchdowns or something like that. And then 2 Super Bowls. Like, that's really freaking hard to not have him in there unless you say, look, we're doing it by all pros, MVPs, how many times they made the playoffs, that kind of stuff.
Or how you're remembered.
Yeah.
The game of football.
Yeah. So,
like, anyway. If you're not remembered as a great quarterback, and I don't think Eli Manning is remembered as a great quarterback, why would they put him in the Hall of Fame? But that's just me. I could go on for days about that.
No. That is one of my favorite arguments, though. I love that discussion. Okay, next question. Let's see. Okay, I like this one from Nate the Kane. Do we keep Lashley if the offense is in the top 15 this season?
Yeah, I do. I honestly think Rhett Lashley could very well be the next head coach of the Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Like, I could see that transpiring. But yes, I like Lashley is, I mean, his first year at Auburn, they went to the national championship and like he continued to like he stayed at Auburn for what, 3-4 years?
Yeah.
Like I Rhett Lashley, like unless it's like he gets like I mean he was at UConn for a year. But if you do well at Miami, like I think you will want to stay there for at least another year.
Yeah, this one kind of worries me. And I'll tell you why. Like it's so take this with a grain of salt. After we hired him, I got on the SMU football subreddit, and I was just reading up on him and you know what their fans had to say about him. And what they were saying is like the inside message board scoop at SMU was that Lashley was looking for a head coaching job, and that it didn't materialize, and that you know, then the Miami job came open and of course he took it because it's a great job. So that makes me skeptical. However, that's like, you know, that's rumors on rumors. You know, I think
that's going to be any successful coordinator. Like,
yeah. I think if he changes our offense around, I mean, here's the deal. If we're top 15 in offense, we're going to the Orange Bowl at least.
Yeah,
we're not going to have a top 15 offense and a top 15 defense and only win 10 games or 9 games. Like that's teams that, you know, those are teams that go to the national
championship. Horrible things I would do to win 10 games this year. I would do horrible things, unforgiving things.
Yeah.
Like everyone is like they almost forget like what happened last year and what's happened the last 15 years. Like, I think we will, I say that we go 9-3 in, the regular season and go 10-4 in like with the bowl win and everything. And to do that, we are going to need a really good offense. And I think we're going to have that. But I'm not going above those expectations right now, at least for wins. But if Rhett Lashley does do what he has been brought to Miami to do, I think we get at least one more year.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hope so. But, I mean, just to put it in context, like, Alabama last year had the 20th defense. You know, so if we were top 15 both offense and defense, only teams that did that were Clemson and Ohio State.
Yeah.
So,
it's all on the offense.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, like, we're probably going to the playoff unless – or, like, being ranked number 5 and in the Orange Bowl because we got thumped by Clemson in the ACC championship game. And that's the only reason we didn't get in. So, I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, I would say 50-50 toss up on that one. I think it would more depend on the jobs that are open, than anything.
Yeah. I mean,
what if that Auburn job comes open?
That what job?
Like what if Auburn comes open, you know, what if they're disappointing and then they decide to part ways with Gus Malzahn, then, I mean, you got to imagine that if we have a top 15 offense that Lashley would be a candidate there.
Oh, absolutely, he'd be a candidate.
And, I mean, let's be real. I love Miami, but would you stay as a coordinator at Miami over head coach at Auburn?
I just don't see Lashley as a guy who goes – I know he did it at UConn, but he just isn't a one-and-done guy to me.
Yeah, no, I feel you. But anyways, it'll be interesting to see what happens. That'd be good problems, though. If we're a top 15 offense, then you know, then we can just bring in the next guy that's going to run an offense like that. So
exactly.
Okay, here's from Polk Kane. Kaya stays for his senior season. How does that season end up?
Oh, I've answered this question so many times. It can go both ways. I mean, yeah. Does Kaya lead us down in Tallahassee and make that game-winning drive? Does Kaya make the plays on his feet that Malik Rozier was able to make? Like, even if we do beat Pitt at the end of the year, people are, like, under the impression that if we just had to beat Pitt and we would have beat Clemson. Like, yeah. Clemson was by far the better team that year. I don't care if Kaya was the quarterback, and I love Kaya. I don't care if Rozier was the quarterback. Like, we were not beating Clemson that year. So, like,
what if we had Deron Williams? Would we have won the national championship? I'm sorry.
Oh, God. yeah, I mean, I've answered this so many times, and Brad has answered this, too. I mean, yeah. Like, and he always answers it like, I mean, there was, like, there's just no way that I would have come back. Year. Like, that was a decision that he made prior to that year. And, but,
yeah. I was going to say the same thing as you. Like, for all the good, we probably, you know, who's to say, but we probably would have beat Pitt. But, you know, Malik was huge for the first half of the season when we got him out in space. He made so many plays with his feet that Brad just wouldn't be capable of doing. That, I mean, I think we'd still probably be around that 10-3 mark, maybe 11-2, but we would have just lost to different teams, you know, different situations. It's just too hard to say. I mean, Brad was the better player and the better quarterback, but that our team and our offensive scheme was just flawed.
And they needed a guy like Malik Rozier who was a little bit more like he had to make things happen sometimes on his own and unconventionally because he was not as good of a quarterback as Brad Kaya. Like, does Daryl Langham catch that crazy catch against Georgia Tech if Kaya's there? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. People.
I'm with you though. I think it's a moot point. I think that team was, I mean, we really won by the skin of our teeth in a lot of games even when Malik played really well. You know, I think that season, all the good, I would mostly attribute to Mark Richt, honestly. Mark Richt and Manny Diaz. I think it was a tremendous coaching job above all else. Because I don't think that team was – I don't think that team lacked the flaws that we have now, the culture problems and the entitlement and stuff like that. I just think that – I mean, I've said it before. I think Mark Richt kind of gold-plated a turd for 2 years. And Manny was a big part of that on defense.
Yeah. I mean, just that 2017 season was like the stars aligned for those first 10 games. And we got lucky as hell in some of those games. That's what, like, we were good, like, when Notre Dame and Virginia Tech came. But, like, we got lucky as hell in some of those games.
Yeah, and to be fair, I guess our defense, I would say our defense probably had more talent than the last few years. Our defensive backfield was loaded. I mean, we had Malik Young for half the year. We had Sheldrick Redwine. We had Jaquan Johnson. I mean, so many freaking studs. And then, you know, our tackles were amazing, obviously, with McIntosh and Norton. We had I can't think of his name. What's the major nine? What's his name?
Oh, Chad Thomas.
Yeah, we had Chad Thomas on the edge. We had Trent Harris.
I mean, the defense wasn't just – I mean, because we returned guys like Jaquan and Redwine and, you know, some – and we had Gerald Willis the next year. But, like, we led the country in turnovers on defense in 2017. We led the country in sacks per game. Like, the defense just executed and made more plays for us. Like, the past few years, we've, like, held teams to – you know, small margin of points and low number of yards, but we're not getting the amount of turnovers. And that is what some of those turnovers just gave us the momentum to win a lot of those games.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so next question is from our guy Ethan, regular contributor at EA Sports 10314. Ethan, thanks, man. I always appreciate how often you're contributing to us. Okay, so are you taking Howard Schnellenberger or Jimmy Johnson? Who do you think was the better coach, and who wins more titles if they stay? Also, how does Butch's career turn out if he stays? So let's break that up. So let's start
We could spend an entire episode on that.
Let's start Schnelly versus Jimmy.
I think that's hard. I mean, Art Kehoe said that if Schnellenberger would have stayed, they would have been just decorated with national championships. And I don't disagree, but I think Jimmy Johnson, I would have to pick Jimmy Johnson just because of, I mean, look at how he even transitioned Miami to, from what Schnellenberger took him. Jimmy Johnson elevated the University of Miami to what we know them as today, to the U. And then also look at the freaking assistant coaches that Jimmy Johnson had. He had guys like Dave Wannstedt, Ed Orgeron, freaking Butch Davis. Like, it's Schnellenberger, after Schnellenberger left – Jimmy and his Canes, his first year at Miami, they went 8-5. The first year that Jimmy wasn't at Miami and Dennis Erickson was there, they won a national championship.
Yeah.
And so I believe if Jimmy had stayed, we win a national championship in 89, in 90, 91. It's crazy. Today, man.
Jimmy's still on the sideline, just racking up the rings.
And I'm not mad that he left because he went to my Cowboys and we won 2 Super Bowls and we were a dynasty. But, the Canes – I mean, and, even if he stayed at Dallas, the Cowboys and the Canes, if he would have stayed at either one of those places for longer, there would be so many championships. It was insane. Jimmy Johnson is one of the greatest football coaches of all time. He develops – he is an incredible recruiter. He has an eye for coaches and – I love Jimmy.
Well, this episode might be boring because we're agreeing on everything. Yes, you're 100% right. All due respect to Schnelly, the answer is Jimmy. And I'm gonna compare this to a historical thing. Okay, Schnellenberger was like the ancient Greeks. Okay, he was the first to do it, the first to make democracy and the all the religious stuff and the culture and whatever. But Jimmy perfected it and streamlined it and made it the most feared institution in the game. He took Schnelly's model and just made it he made it a thing. We're still talking about it. We're still making documentaries about it. And I'm with you. That's Jimmy's doing, in my opinion.
Look at the team. Look at Jimmy's teams at Miami. Those were the teams that people – obviously, we have such a high regard for Howard's 1983 team. But when people think of the U, the head coach that comes to mind is Jimmy Johnson.
Yep. No, I agree, man. I think I might have got derailed. Jimmy was the Roman Empire. Howard Schnellenbergers were the Greeks.
I'm a sports writer. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about either. But he laid the foundation and Jimmy just perfected it, in my opinion. So.
Yeah.
But, So then what are we going to say about Butch's career if he stays?
I think it's something similar. If Butch would have stayed a few more years, I don't think he stays more than a year or two more. But there's a lot more discipline. Brett Romberg always said that I don't know if this is the correct term, but he said that Butch had the coaches and the players' asses so puckered tight because they were intimidated by him. And that's the presence that – has been missing from the University of Miami. So it's not just coaching like offensive and defensive philosophies. It's the presence that Butch Davis had that Larry Coker did not have, and then, you know, so on and so forth. That discipline and that standard was not held to the same regard. And so if Butch stays, I think you just influence another generation of Miami Hurricane players who know the program and know the routine. Like, it's not you come and do your own thing. Like you are expected to do this and this and this, and there's no leeway. Like, this is how we do it at the University of Miami, and it results in wins. And you just didn't get that with Larry Coker.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I think I'm a little more sour on Butch than most people. Just because, like, you know, a lot of people were, like, pissed off and bitter at Butch for how the FIU game went and him faking injuries and doing all that crap and whatever. But that's, like, that's textbook Butch, you know? Like, he's kind of a slimy dude. And I mean, he's been caught up in recruiting scandals and all kinds of rule-breaking everywhere he's been. He left us high and dry, you know, like, I don't think the Cleveland Browns were super happy with him. You know, North Carolina wasn't super happy with him. Man, he can evaluate talent. You know, he's amazing at, he built the best team of all time, but I don't know. I do think we probably would have won a few more national championships, but I don't think in any scenario it ends well with Butch for us. I just don't think that's the kind of guy he is. I mean, he kind of strikes me as a dude that leaves a burned bridge every time he leaves.
Yeah. Then again, I mean, Nick Saban has had, left the Miami Dolphins in a bad place. I mean, certain coaches do certain things, and, like, some of the greatest coaches are slimy. I mean, Bill Belichick is no saint.
Urban Meyer covering up murders.
Yeah, and I would take Urban Meyer tomorrow, like today. Like, people talk about this and this and this. Urban Meyer would make Miami a national champion. And
we'd win.
I mean, sometimes it's not like there is no lily white clean program in college athletics, top program in college athletics. And so, I just appreciated what Butch was able to do, that he was a hard ass, but he got results.
Yeah, no, he did get results. I definitely think that our window would have been pushed back a few years. You know, like, we'd be talking about great teams into the 2004-2005 era. I think it would have ended bad whenever it did end. So, okay, next question. Let's see. Okay, this is from Anton at Hurricanes Time. Will Chaney / Rooster attain Duke Johnson level running back presence on the field? So, will Chaney or Rooster be able to be as good as Duke Johnson?
This is the problem with Hurricanes fans. Like, we try to compare them to all these past great players. Like, who cares if Jalen Knighton doesn't surpass Duke Johnson in career rushing yards? If – what am I trying to say? We did not bring them in to be a Duke Johnson. I don't know. I'm trying to collect my thoughts, Jordan. You go.
Well, I'm going to go along with it. I'm going to go along with the question, and I'm going to say no. I think people forget how good Duke Johnson was. He was incredible. He was so incredible. I mean, what did he go for? Like, he went for well over 1,000 yards in 2014. And I mean, he was in college football. I don't know if you guys remember, but they were arguing who was the better player out of him and what was it? Amir Abdullah? Was that his name at Nebraska?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those were the two best running backs in college football. So we had, I mean, arguably RB1, you know, he was arguably the best back in college football for 2 years, you know, immediate impact as a freshman, and then just a stable presence, you know, like they don't really make guys like Duke Johnson. And I hope they prove me wrong. But I think Duke is more of a generational guy that just happened to be on some teams that weren't that great.
I think that's a very, very good point, because when ever, I mean, I like Duke. I'm not as big of a fan of him as others, just because I was gone for some of the years that he was playing. Mm-hmm. Like, when I think of the best Miami Hurricanes running backs, like, I think of Willis McGahee. I think of Clinton Portis. Like, you think of the impact that Willis McGahee had the 1 year that he was the starting running back.
Yeah.
Like, Duke Johnson was good, but I bet defenses, in my opinion, feared McGahee more.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say Duke is like top three or four that we've ever had, but I would say by a landslide, he is the best back that we've had here since Frank Gore. And
well, I mean, oh yeah. I mean, we love freaking Greg Cooper, but like, yeah.
But hey, NFL Pro Bowl running back Lamar Miller, you know, like that's not nothing to be considerably better than Lamar Miller as a Miami Hurricane. Miller was good.
I don't know anything about Lamar Miller. Like, I don't remember him playing. I remember him taking a kickoff against Ohio State in Columbus, and I couldn't name you one other highlight from him.
He was a home run hitter. I felt like, I mean, I haven't watched his tape since he played, so this is me remembering as like a, you know, like a 13-year-old or however long ago this was. If I remember right, he was like kind of slow between the, or I guess he, I don't know. He didn't do what Duke did in the stiff arms and the juking people and like making something out of nothing. But like if Miller got a hole, he was gone because he was just that much faster than everyone. So he'd break like a 60-yarder every game, and then he's kind of a straight line runner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's kind of how his career at Miami was. Like, you were always waiting for him to bust that 60-yard touchdown run, but other than that, you weren't blown away. It was only when he got in space and was, you know, just like, just blazing through the defense, that you really caught notice. But I don't know. Yeah, but Duke was amazing. I mean, so many big plays, catching passes out of the backfield. I mean, unstoppable in kick returns. And I mean, if you just watch his highlight tapes, it's amazing how fast he is, because he was a pretty big dude. Like, he was thick for his size.
Yeah. Don't trust me. I mean, because it was like probably like 2 months ago when we were having a Twitter conversation with everyone, your top five Canes of the 2010s, and Duke wasn't in mine, and I got like crapped on. And I'm like, I'm sorry, he just didn't.
Yeah.
It's probably how a lot of people think about Brad Kaya, sadly. Yeah. Like, he's the all-time leading rusher, but when you think of Miami Hurricanes running backs, I think of McGahee or Portis, Edge, just like Kaya, you think of Ken Dorsey or Vinny. But yeah. I think Jalen Knight and Don Chaney can do I think they're going to do incredible things. I think Jalen Knight, and like everyone knows this, I think he's going to be a superstar at Miami. I believe he can do things that we haven't seen since a guy like Duke, or, you know, a guy like Frank Gore or McGahee. Yeah. He can be a 1,500-yard rusher because, I mean, he's not as big as McGahee, but that speed, man, is incredible. And he's kind of like Lamar Miller. He's a home run threat. Don Chaney is probably a little bit more like Willis McGahee because he has the thickness. He doesn't run a 4.28 like Willis McGahee was timed at, but Chaney and Knight are going to complement each other very, very well.
I think they'll be great. My thing though is, I mean, it's like a guy coming out of the NBA draft and someone saying like, will he be as good as Kevin Durant? You know, like, Durant's not the greatest of all time. He probably won't ever be in that conversation. But my knee-jerk reaction is to say no, because he's one of the greats, you know, and he will be one of the greats. And that's kind of how I view Duke, is like, he's one of the greats of our program. He's not in that very, very top tier, you know. He's not going to be on anyone's list of like top seven best Canes of all time. But, you know, if someone's asking, like, is this unproven guy going to be as good as Duke Johnson, my knee-jerk reaction is no. And, you know, if they prove me wrong, I'll say it then. But, you know, it's hard to predict greatness for someone you've never watched play in college.
As long as Knighton and Chaney score touchdowns, that's the only thing I care about, and Miami wins a game. Yeah. I don't care if they even sniff what Duke Johnson was able to do statistically.
Yeah.
I just want them to help win games and run the hell over people and past people and do what they came here to do. We didn't recruit these guys to be a Duke Johnson. We recruited them to help the Miami Hurricanes win games and be a part of, you know, a Rhett Lashley system.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
People are probably going to disagree with me on that, but that's how I feel.
Well, just let it all out, man. We're here for you.
Oh, I let it out most days on Twitter.
Oh, man. Okay, let's see. Okay. So, Gunner again says, who are your realistic top targets for the class of 2021? So I'm not great with the names yet. I know a few. I know that wide receiver kid, what's his name, like Colby
George.
Yep, that's what I was gonna say. I just didn't want to look down. You know, like, he's been working out with our receivers. I know him. I know of guys more so than I know their names off the top of my head. But I will say, like, if we don't just hammer O-line, wide receivers, and corners, I'm just going to lose my freaking mind.
Well, I mean, we've started very well on offensive line, at least. Yeah. You know, I really like
the beast, dude.
Yeah. And if you would be like top five most realistic, like, or top three most realistic receivers, because there's so many realistic people that we're going to sign. But yeah, I think receivers is a huge, huge, not need almost, but the talent and incredible prospects just in South Florida at the wide receiver position in 2021 class. Like, it's insane, and we have to take advantage of that. Like, we have to get a guy like Jacoby George. We have to, you know, it would be great if we could get a guy like Romello Brinson. So there's so many of those guys.
I think almost half the class, so I'm talking 10 to 12 guys, should be from those three position groups. That should be half our class, is wide receivers, O-linemen, and corners. Because we are so thin, like paper thin. I guess at wide receiver, if Jeremiah Payton is a freshman All-American, then we can talk about it at that point. Then we won't be thin. As it stands now, though, we are paper thin at those three positions. Like, but we are not.
I would say, but, like, we lose Harley after this year at receiver. Wiggins and Pope both come back. I mean, and we have, what, four, five freshman receivers?
Yeah.
So, I mean, so we're a lot more paper thin at the cornerback position.
Yeah.
I guess our
production, or in terms of production, we're paper thin. We have a lot of unproven guys, but, man, I hate betting on unproven guys, you know?
People get mad at me all the time because I talk down on Mark Pope. I'm like, give me one reason why I should believe that he's going to be the next star at receiver for Miami. Give me, like, one good reason.
If we're going into not this season but the following year, and we're like, hey, our starters are Xavier Restrepo and Mark Pope, and it's like, well, Restrepo redshirted last year, and Mark Pope only had 400 yards, so what am I supposed to get excited about?
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, these guys aren't going to light up college football.
Yeah, and not that I'm betting against any of those guys, but, you know, if that's what you're throwing at me is like a wide receiver rotation of guys that combined for 1,400 yards in their whole career, then I'm not going to be very happy about it. You know, I'm not gonna praise the recruiting and just be like, oh dude, we're so loaded, we got so many 4-star guys. It's like, well, guess what? They've combined to catch 80 passes between all 7 of them.
Yeah, so, and our offense sucked. So yeah. Too many Canes fans carry on expectations for players throughout their college careers just because of where they went to high school, what their high school ranking was. They don't look at – they don't care as much about college production, and it baffles me so much. Like, I ask people all the time, why do you think Mark Pope is going to be – this good? He goes like, oh, I just remember him at Southridge. I mean, he was just so good. I'm like, well, damn, I wasn't bad in high school football. Like, show me something in college that makes you actually believe that would make me believe that he's going to do anything. The kid's – Pope's like 170 pounds.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, if you were to – if that's why, like, D. Wiggins at least has made some plays that I can say, okay, here's what he can do.
Yes. Yeah. Steve Wiggins was great last year. I have no complaints with him. So last year we really needed a guy to step up, and Mike Carley stepped up and D. Wiggins stepped up, and Pope was languishing on the bench. I mean, we lost both of our starters from the year before. Pope had every opportunity. All of these guys had every opportunity. You know, we brought in a grad transfer and then I mean, it's not like anyone blew the doors off for that wide receiver 2 spot, you know?
No. I love this topic because I can just rant for days. It pisses me off because people do not like D. Wiggins because he had a few drops his freshman season, but they love Pope because of what he did in high school. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong, and it sounds really stupid when you put it like that, but it's
and
true.
And people look at Mark Pope doing workouts in a sand trap and say, "Oh, he's gonna have a huge year." Okay, you don't think the other players are doing that too? Like Mark Pope's just videotaping it.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I'm sorry. I think that's one of the best points I've made on this podcast. Like,
no, you're right. You're 100% right, and I don't, you know, I don't think either of us are bashing Mark Pope, because if he busts out and has like a 1,000 yards and, you know, is a Biletnikoff finalist, we're both going to be singing his praises and love him and just be so happy for him and be like, you know, it looks like the sand trap thing worked out or whatever. Like, it's not that we don't like Mark Pope, it's that we don't. We're not buying into something without any substance yet.
Exactly.
It's just stupid.
I mean, there's so many Hurricane players that people just drool over because you went to St. Thomas Aquinas. He's from South Florida. He was a 4-star. He turned down Alabama for us, but I mean, he hasn't done anything his first 2 years, but like, we still think he's going to be a breakout star. They will say that Mark Pope is their breakout star next year.
Yeah.
Like, hey, they'll keep saying the same thing because they want to keep believing what they saw 4 years ago when Pope was being recruited.
I'll take 1,000 Braxton Berrioses and KJ Osborne's over 1 Mark Pope.
Absolutely, dude.
Oh, wait. Let me reverse that. I'll take 1 KJ Osborne or Braxton Berrios over 1,000 Mark Popes. And you know, I'll take that back if Pope shows out this year. But I'm just using him to symbolize what you're talking about. You know, the 5-star kid that really hasn't done much. And people are still just...
Or post a video of him working out so he can please fans. Like, Braxton Berrios probably outworked Pope 100 times. He didn't post anything. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why I'm just going off on like the current Hurricanes right now. Like, I just have so much to say.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Dude, I guess you're right. We have better depth at wide receiver. It's just unproven, and that scares the living daylights out of me. Because I'm not going to get excited if I I can't get excited even if we're like, oh, Jeremiah Payton, he's our number one this year. He's going to be huge. It's like, yeah, I hope that happens. But I'm not going to sign up for season tickets telling me that a guy that's never played before is going to be our go-to guy.
Yeah, like...
You know what I mean? I mean,
people are saying how good he's going to be because he was the scout team player of the year last year.
Yeah, and that's
but
all...
people won't give D. Wiggins any credit because he dropped a pass against Virginia Tech his freshman season.
Yeah. No, I... Dude,
why are we so much smarter than everyone?
I know, right?
Ugh.
That's why we have a podcast, Marsh.
Yes, this is true. And that's why people listen, because we have these opinions.
You mean not opinions, Marsh. They're answers. We don't have opinions. We have facts and answers.
Yes. You're darn right we do. Gosh. Ugh.
Okay. What will it take? Okay, this is from Brian Correa. Okay, so what will it take for the Canes to beat Clemson and enter the college football playoff? Well,
I don't mean any disrespect,
Brian. However, we are light years away from Clemson right now. Like, light years. Like, call me in 5 years after we have gotten top 7 recruiting classes every single season. And we have the best football coach in the country, or in the top 2. And we have back-to-back quarterbacks in Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. I guess there was that other dude in there for a season, but you know what I mean. We're light years from Clemson.
Yeah, they just jumped so far ahead in expectations.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, can we beat Duke first? Like, yeah, can we win a coastal first? Like, Clemson is at the very top of the college football world. There's a pile of dirt at the bottom, and then there's shit 5 feet below that, and that's where we are right now.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, so when was Taj Boyd a thing? Was that like 2011 and 12?
Yeah.
I think that was when I was in high school, right? Because that was he was the QB when they were playing like Jameis Winston and those great games, the Clemson versus Florida State. So they were ahead of us 6 and 7 years ago and 8 years ago, and they've been progressing ever since. So let's rewind 8 years back. They're still at like way ahead of where we are. You know, they're probably like where the Florida Gators are right now, where they're going to a New Year's Six Bowl every year. In their conference championship, they're pulling great recruiting classes, putting elite guys like Sammy Watkins into the NFL. Like, so they're ahead of us that long ago, and they've gotten better every season. So, I mean, it would take a drastic shift. I mean, if we win 11 games next season, then we're where Clemson was 8 years ago. And we got to keep getting better every season for the next 8 years to get where Clemson is.
They just jump ahead to these conclusions. Like, we shouldn't even be in the same sentence as Clemson. Like,
look what happens when we tried to play them, dude. We got thumped. We got freaking thumped in the ACC championship. And that was by far the best Canes team since, like, 2004.
Yeah.
And we got obliterated by them.
See, like, this is the kind of stuff I like, because I disagree with Canes fans and they hate me for it, but they know I'm right.
Yeah.
They just want to believe. And I do think, like I said, I think the Hurricanes will be 9-3 this year. I think we can absolutely do that. But
and
to even
obliterated by Clemson.
Yeah, but to even think we could even compete with a team like Clemson. Like, we have so many obstacles before that.
Yeah.
Like, where's the humility in Canes fans? Come on!
I'm not a Miami native, but there's nothing about what I've observed and learned about Miami culture. There is nothing that even resembles humility about Miami culture from my observation.
Until I started... going off on. I mean, there's a few people on there. They just Canes fans are just so, and I love them. I am a Hurricanes fan. Like nobody supports the Canes more than I do. Yeah. But the majority of Canes fans are so delusional that it creates just such a false sense of identity.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to take a step back and realize that great teams had to go through a process too. Like, okay, Alabama, like, had to go through 1 year and then they started winning things. But teams like Clemson, like, I'm trying to think, because Urban Meyer went to Ohio State, won automatically. He had a few tough years at Florida. Like,
yeah, but I mean, like, Urban, how many years removed from Jim Tressel was Urban Meyer, though? Because, I mean, Tressel was a freaking good coach and had an amazing program there. And then wasn't it just one season where Luke Fickell took over and then they hired Urban Meyer?
I think so, yeah. Luke Fickell was there. Yeah. Urban Meyer got there in 2013.
It's not like Urban Meyer took over an average program. I mean, he took over a team that had sustained success for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Like, Ohio State had been in the national championship like 4 years prior to Urban coming there.
I mean, Ohio State had, like, when they beat us in 2002, they never really regressed as a program. They might have had some down years, but they stayed at that level until Urban Meyer got there, and then he made them even better, you know?
Like, a down year for Ohio State was going 9-4.
Oh, yeah, that'd be, like, you'd be talking about the hot season.
Like, we've done that, like, two or three times in the past 15 years.
We've done that three times, because Shannon did it once, Al Golden did it once, and Mark Richt did it twice. I guess we've had three coaches do it, so I just said we did it three times and then counted four times we did it. That's a rough day for me.
No, it's all good. But no, I let's not, like, Clemson is obviously the goal, like the what's the word I'm looking for? They're the model program. I love what Dabo Sweeney has done with them. Like, they were nothing before he got there, and they're just a perfect example of trusting a process and believing that it won't take 1 year, it won't take 2 years. Like, what was it, like Dabo's fourth year where they lost by like 90 in the Orange Bowl to West Virginia?
Yeah. And I mean, dude, Clemsoning was a thing. Like, do we all remember what Clemsoning was? It's, you know, where you were supposed to, like, this was supposed to be your year, and then you fumble it away like an idiot, you know, or just come up short in big games. Like, that was a verb. That was a thing back in 2012 and 13, was like Clemsoning, you know? And now Clemsoning is being the best.
Yeah, it's going to the national, or playing for the national championship every year and winning it every 2 years.
Yeah. Dude, and taking down Alabama twice at their peak. That is unbelievable that someone did that.
Those teams are so far. You know, like, they are on another – they're playing another game as far as I know.
You know what that reminds me of? Like, the only thing that you can compare that to, Clemson taking down Alabama twice in their prime, is Eli Manning beating Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm just messing with you, Marsh. I can't resist.
No, you're right. You're right. I still don't know how the hell that happened.
I know, not just once, but Eli had to double dip on taking down the goat.
Yeah. Anywho, what's the next one?
I was hoping for a better reaction than that, Marsh. But
I don't have like a logical like response. Like, I would just like be talking as a hater.
I know, that's what I was trying to get. All right, so dude, I think that's it. I mean we got a few more. I mean we're pushing an hour right now, and you know,
one more good one. I'm feeling it. You don't even have to like. Yeah, is there just like one more like good one? If there's not, then I'm good. But
most of them are just schedule related questions or stuff that we've already talked about. So I think, hold on, let me check one more. There might be some that got put on the other tweet. Where'd that go? Didn't you quote tweet the one that I did?
Which one?
Here it is. okay. Oh geez. No, that's it. We got a hilarious question from what was Iron Man Football? What was his name?
Justin.
Yeah, we got a funny question from Justin about SpongeBob, but I let's just call it.
All right.
Oh man. Well, thanks guys. Thank you for sending in questions. Keep it coming. We'll do this every week, and you know, we want to show love to everyone who contributes to our Twitter conversation and keeps us going. Like, it's I appreciate it. So
it's awesome.
Oh, sorry. And go ahead.
We'll be back on Thursday. We got Antoine Staley. He's a Gator fan, but he's coming on. A lot of people know him on Twitter, so we're gonna talk some more football with him. And like, if you disagree with the opinions that I made, like let me know. Like, let's talk on Twitter. Yeah. But
in the octagon.
Continue to send in questions. Let's find things we disagree on. So
yeah,
let's do it.
All right. Well, go Canes, man.
Go Canes as always.
This has been the Forza Podcast.